How a few weeks ago, Dilip shared that the one word to describe Carolyn is determined, and Anju said feisty. Eric's one word to describe Carolyn was actually devoted, and I think if we know her, Carolyn was a woman that truly was devoted. She was devoted to her husband, Dilip, her family, and to her friends, but more importantly, she was devoted to her God, to God. Her devotion to her husband meant being what Dilip called her, called his sassy, stubborn German. Being there, always there, supportive, like stubbornly supportive of Dilip throughout their marriage, throughout their 43 years of marriage, in moments such as Dilip's heart surgery, when the kids were growing up, and when the kids grew up as adults, leaving the home as well during their adult years. That's what her devotion to her husband looked like. Her devotion to her family meant she was a good cook. She was a good cook. She would make ambrosia, almond cookies, sugar cookies with walnut, with walnuts also as well. And she'll make things that is difficult. I know for myself, when my wife gave birth to our firstborn, she actually got Anju to go over to my house to deliver curry. During the moments, those first few hours of just having a newborn finally home. And she was a good cook. And what I heard, it might even be possible that she was better at making curry than Dilip, if I could say that. Or it's contested, right? It's true? Okay. And yet, she would say she was a vegetarian. But really, she was what the family told me, she was really a picketarian. She'll not eat any meat except for the exception of ground beef and hot dogs. But still, she was willing, because of her devotion to her family, she was willing to cook for her family. Whatever meat it is to feed her family, that's because of her strong devotion to her family. She was not only devoted to her husband and to her family, she was also devoted to her friends. She would make creative writing cards. I remember receiving them during different certain milestones in my life, and certainly most of you guys have had that pleasure also as well. And she also, what I heard was also she'll make these gift books with colorful papers, with writings, with notes, maybe even pictures. And she'll have her house all these boxes of all these things in order to bless others, and she'll incorporate God into it. So we see her devotion to her husband, devotion to her family, and her devotion to her friends. Finally, she also is a woman who is devoted to God. She'll put God into all the things she does. She'll put all her God into verses with even her gift. And if you follow her on Facebook, in which she has many Facebook friends, you would also know whether her blog back in the day was Zanga. She's a woman that always be posting scripture regularly also as well. She was a woman who put her faith in God and trusted in God during the good times and the trials of her life. In this sermon, I want to talk to you about her devotion to God. I was thinking about what verses should we go over. I know earlier the funeral director said to turn off your phone, but I decided for her funeral sermon to actually preach the last three verses from her Facebook. So if you do have Facebook, I say if you have your phone on, it's not every day as a preacher I could say, turn it a good book by turning to Facebook, okay? But if you do want to follow along, I'll be preaching from the last three verses from her Facebook. The last three verses, beginning on October 1st. If you guys just want to follow along as a scriptural reference, I'll be preaching the exact three verses with that. And I want to preach this because I want to say that even right now as she's in heaven, as she's looking down, these are the three things she wants you to know about God. Again, this is not a preacher with an agenda, but this is the three things, the three verses, the three last verses before she departs to go see Jesus Christ to let you know what she wants you to know is that she's in heaven. And these are the three things she wants you to know about the God that she's devoted her life to. Point number one, this will be from Psalms 33, verse 22. So if you are on her Facebook, this is on October 1st. On October 1st on her Facebook, the first truth I want to say is looking from Psalms 33, verse 22, this is the first truth she wants all of us to know. Carolyn wants you to know the love of God. The first point among these three verses, the first verse is we want to see from Psalms 33, verse 22. Again, Psalms 33, verse 22. Carolyn wants you to know the love of God. And from her Facebook, I actually was looking at this translation. I couldn't find where this translation, but I think from looking at the Hebrew with the English translation, this is actually captured pretty faithfully. Psalms 33, verse 24, this is what the Word of God says from her Facebook on October 1st. May your unfailing love rest upon you, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Let me read that again. May your unfailing love rest upon you, O Lord, even as we put our love in you. You can wave your flag or click like on Facebook with that verse, okay? I want to call attention to this verse, the first half, where it says, may your unfailing love rest upon you. That is, God's love is described here with the adjective as unfaithful, unfailing. In Hebrew, this word is actually a very rich word. The Hebrew word has the idea of not just love, but committed, devoted love that will not abandon someone. This is the idea of a faithful love that is of commitment, where there's love with no expiration date with the Hebrew word. And here we see that this is God's love for us. This is God's love for us. It is with unfailing love. I believe when we read the Bible, this is what I always tell my congregation, I believe the Bible is verses whenever we look. It's almost like a puzzle piece. And if you know Carolyn Gupta, she likes puzzles, yes? She loves puzzles. So think of the Bible with each verse like a puzzle piece. We don't just look at one piece. You might look at it and say, oh, I wonder what this is. But it's only when you put other pieces next to it, in its context, you see it's more, its beauty and what the big picture is. In the same way, looking at Psalm 33, verse 22, we don't just look at this verse itself as a fortune cookie divorced from context. But when we look at this verse in its context, Psalms 33, verse 22 fits in a bigger psalm, a chapter that's 33. But it's right next to another psalm that's 32. Psalms 32 is actually a prayer talking about the difficult subject of our sinfulness. The difficult subject of if we sin, our sin is really bad, it's very heinous, but yet God forgives when we go to Him when we confess and with Him. Now, why am I bringing this up? It's for a purpose. When we see in Psalms 33, verse 22, when Carolyn Gupta shared on October 1st this verse where it says, may your unfailing love rest upon you. If you know the context of Psalms 32, it's just talking about David's heinous sin, the writer there, the king that's writing about his sin. Then the verse, the psalm after this, in the last verse, is talking about God's unfailing love. What does this mean? What it means for us is what Carolyn wants us to know is that God's love for us is so deep that despite our sinfulness, despite what sins we have, secret sins that we do know, that others don't know, and those things that we only know, despite all of this, God's love for us is so great that He loves us despite our flaws and despite our sins. This is what Carolyn wants you to know. If you guys could imagine with me, with just a picturing a timeline or graph between a number 0 to 100. Christians like to say, and the Bible like to teach, that God's love for us is undeserving love. In other words, it's not because we were deserving, but yet He still loves us even when we're undeserving of that love. So if we look at a number line from 0 to 100, and 0 being undeserving to 100 being deserving, listen, I want to comfort us with this truth that Carolyn Gupta knows, is that God loves us even when we're at the point of 0, or whether it's a point of 100. Even at the point of 0, God loves us so deeply as if we're deserving of it. And this is what she wants you to know. But that's not even the full story of God's love. That's not even the full story. It is true. God loves us even when we're undeserving. But God loves us even when we're ill-deserving. Because in the context of Psalms 33 and Psalms 32, Psalms 32 talking about the sinfulness and confession to God, God loves us even when we're ill-deserving, even when we've sinned against Him, even when we fall from the standard of perfectness of what is good and what is holy and what is right and what is just. Going back to the number line again, if we were to have negative 100 being the worst of sins to 0 being undeserving, God's love for us is not just only at the point of 0, but it's even when we're ill-deserving, even when we're in the negative of our sin. This is the love of God that Carolyn Gupta wants you to know this morning. That God loves us deeply. And this is the God that she loved, and this is the God that she served. I'm really encouraged to hear that Dilip and Carolyn has been married for 43 years. 43 years. That's longer than I've been alive, okay? But with all of that, that is a powerful testimony of the love of God. That's a powerful testimony of a faithful, committed love between her husband and her wife. And that's a picture of also as well of God's love for us. An unfailing love that that God has for all of us through the person of Christ, even to the point of dying on the cross for our sin. The second truth that Carolyn wants us to know in her last days is also Carolyn wants us to know the uncertainty of life. Carolyn wants us to know about the uncertainty of life. If you are on Facebook, on October 4th, this is the verse that she shared. On October 4th, she shares a verse on her Facebook from Proverbs 27, verses 1. This is the second to last verse she shared before she passed away. In Proverbs 27, verses 1, she shared this from the King James. And let me just read this for us. It says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Again, this is from her Facebook on October 4th. And this verse makes it clear. We don't know what will happen tomorrow. There's many things, if we're honest, we do not know. Carolyn would want you to know about the uncertainty of life. Why? Why is that important for us to know from God's word about the uncertainty of life? First, so that we won't take anything for granted. We will not take a day for granted. We're not even take tomorrow. We're not even certain there will be tomorrow. We will not take anything, the good things that God has given us, for granted. That includes family, friends, and other blessings in our lives today. We need to know this in order to count our blessing. I imagine Carolyn would also want us to know this so that we will be prepared to meet our Maker. We don't know when our life will be passed away. I know the family, the Gupta family, has had a rough year with a lot of people passing. And even when I was visiting her in the hospital, she was just sharing about just what Dilip is going through with the rest of the family. And I've been praying just on her bedside, just praying for the rest of the family also as well. This verse, of all among the three verses, I think this verse spoke to me the most. How I know Carolyn was in the context of the military. I was a young man. I just came back from Iraq with the Marines in 2003. And I decided to start a blog on Zanga just to make sure to pray for the men I've served with and also my friends from high school that was serving in the military. And I would set it up just so that other people would be able to pray for my brothers and for my friends. And over the years, Carolyn would comment and would pray for all these. And some of my friends from high school, she ended up meeting in person. And she'll be praying through some of the toughest times in my friend's life. Some of the times when I was overseas, not just Iraq, but other places, other countries, Ukraine, Denmark, and other places like that. And she'll be praying when my friends would lost people and have their young lives taken away, friends of friends, and even through those traumatic moments. And Carolyn would be a prayer warrior. And this verse spoke to me because it is so true. She would always tell me about how, yes, life is uncertain, but you want to make sure, which leads to the third truth. You want to make sure the certainty of Christ's promise of heaven. So Carolyn was there for me as a young man, as a guy that was in the Marines. But later on, when I went to school, UCLA, she'll share about her family, about Anju being UCLA. When I was UCLA, she'll pray for me. When I was in a relationship, when I was engaged, she'll pray for me. Follow me on Facebook and pray. When I was going into ministry, she'll pray for me. So she was almost as if she was my spiritual mom in my life. This is how much she meant for me. And she was always reminding me about the uncertainty of life and counting all my blessing. And that tomorrow's not promised. During the time of my life when even I wasn't sure if necessarily I'll see another day or another year. Which now leads to the third truth that Carolyn wants us to know. The last verse is going to be establishing this third truth, which is Carolyn wants you to know the certainty of Christ's promise of heaven. She wants you to know today in heaven, as she's looking down, the certainty of Christ's promise of heaven. If you're on Facebook, this was shared on October 5th. And this is, of course, the day before she would be leaving us in this side of eternity. On October 5th, she shared from Revelation 3:20 from the King James. And this, in the context, is Jesus Christ speaking. Revelation 3:20 says this: God comes to your house, step up the door and knocks. But it's up to you to let him in. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and open the door, I will come in to him." This is Jesus Christ saying that he is knocking on the door of our heart. He wants to come into our hearts. Why? Because the first time he came on earth, he came to die for all of our sins. So that living in our hearts, he prepares us to go to heaven to meet our God, our Maker. This is the beginning when we read here of Revelation 3, which in the end of this book of Revelation, it describes the scene of heaven. Let me just read to you the scene of heaven that's described. Why Christ came to come into our hearts is so that we would be able to be in heaven. Let me read just the scene as described in Revelation 21. And even as I read this, imagine in your mind, Carolyn Gupta is there in the presence of God with the scene of heaven. Revelation 21 verses 1 to 5 says this: "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there's no longer any sea." Verse 2: "And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no longer any death. There will be no longer any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away.' And he who sits on the throne says, 'Behold, I'm making all things new.' And he said, 'Write these things, for these words are faithful and true.'" What a joy to think that every tear will one day be wiped away by Christ himself. The next chapter in 22 verses 1 to 5 also describes a further physical description of this new heaven and new earth that Carolyn wants you to know about the certainty of. It says, "Then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of the street, on either side of the river, was a tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservant will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will be no longer be any night, and they will not have need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever." When the last time I was able to visit her in the hospital, she was telling me about just God working in her life through various times in her trials. But she was also sharing to me how she was looking forward to meeting Jesus Christ. And she wants you to know the certainty of God's promise of heaven through Christ, who came on earth, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, and 3 days later was resurrected with a glorified body for the hope that we have. So feel free, even as you miss her, as you look at her Facebook, these are the three verses that she wants us to know about the God that she's devoted to. Now I want to move for the next point we want to look at, or we want to move towards, is actually a moment of eulogy or life tribute. This is where I know many of us have fond memories of Carolyn and the kind person that she was in our life. The family at this moment would like to make this time available for those in the audience, yes, you, to be included in the service by even being able to come up here to share your eulogy. We ask that you keep it brief, between 3 to 5 minutes, and feel free, though, to really come up here. But first, I want to ask to begin our eulogy. I do want to have first Jericho Farfan, who is actually the son-in-law, come up and just share again for 3 to 5 minutes. Okay.
Hello, everybody. This is a tribute to her life, a life well spent. As we heard, married almost 44 years. It's pretty amazing. I'd like to share a few stories, and hopefully we can hear your stories too. One of the first times I ran into or heard of Andrew's mom was we're watching a videotape, a VHS tape, and it was a party, a graduation party. And in the crowd, it was this loud laugh. And I was like, wow. I guess I had a face of surprise, and Anju's like, that's my mom. So I was pretty impressed even before I saw her, met her. Her constant reference, and you can see from the photos and what everybody shared here, her love of North Dakota. We had an awesome opportunity last year to go visit. And, you know, seeing her farm, she always talked about her farm. You know, seeing her parents' gravesite, you know, it's pretty awesome. You can see some of the pictures of that day. There's another story. We used to go, we love to go out to eat. And I call this the Marie Callender's pie. I love dessert. She loved dessert. And, you know, after our meal, I was like, I'm gonna have some pie. And she says, that's a great idea. And I'm like, okay. So the waitress came, and I ordered one piece of pie. And out of nowhere, she says, no, you're not. I was like, whoa. Like, the whole restaurant, like, stopped and wondered what's going on. I was like, what do you mean I'm not? And she's like, you're getting a whole pie, because she wanted some of the pie. I was like, okay. From then on, I knew that I cannot order just a piece of pie. I have to order a whole pie for us to share. There was also mention of her custom Christmas cards, birthday cards, Easter cards. We will miss this. Lastly is her grandson, Mason. Boy, she loved Mason. One of her last wishes was that Mason would draw a picture of her. And the picture was beautiful. We don't have it here to share, but it was her standing proud and little Mason on the side. And it was hung in a hospital bed, and currently it's in our house. So those are the stories I have. Hopefully I can hear some of your stories. Thank you for coming, and thank you.
Thank you, Dilly, Eric, Anju, and everybody, to letting me say a few words about Kelvin. As everybody said, I'm really going to miss her a lot. When I first came to this country, way back in 1972, we just had a handful of relatives, and coming from India right after you get married, and you do miss your family a lot. And I was crying, missing my family, parents, and everybody. And being the youngest, I was kind of pampered. And getting married to my husband, Dave, as soon as I landed, everybody was there at the airport in Carolyn. Him, Dilip, Ishwar, everybody, and I instantaneously felt welcomed. Carolyn, like Eric had mentioned, she had a smile, contagious smile, and then followed by a chuckle, and that really meant something. I could tell that something is coming, but she wouldn't say anything. You have to figure it out. And I enjoyed the political discussion between her and my husband. You know, we won't discuss politics much, but she had her own thinking about, and I really would enjoy Dave and her talking about it. So it was really, really fun. But I could go on and on and on, but I must say that she was the one who started me out on being creative about making cards and everything. I had some ideas, but I never took the effort to put them on paper and say, yeah, this is how it should be. And in way back in 1972 is when I first met. Well, as the years went by, we used to get together, and she made a card for us. I don't exactly remember whether it was for my husband's birthday or mine, but and I said, oh, she's my teacher, and she really taught me. And from then on, she instilled that love, and I am, it may be refrigerator art, but I enjoy it, and I really thank her for that. What else can I say? And she really, I'm going to really miss her. At that time, it was just a handful of us that would get together. Carolyn, Krishna, who I miss her a lot, and then Gyan and others followed later. We would have, they were in San Gabriel. At that time, we were young, poor, and hungry. Anytime there's a meal, you know, we would run. So the first person we would go to would be Hemant Krishna's house. Didn't realize that Nigel was only a few days old. At that time, you don't have the sense that a young mother, you know, we should be more careful. But we didn't care. Loved playing with Nigel. Was sitting right there. And then we would go to Dilip's house. Carolyn, us, will go to Dilip's house. And every Friday, we were in Pasadena, Monrovia. Every Wednesday, they would come over. We'd have a simple meal. And I want to emphasize on the fact that I really found my family. And I did miss my own, but it was like, oh, my God, I'm so glad I found everybody. And she had such a loving heart. I'm going to miss her smile. But as everybody knows that, granted, we lose a friend, something that's lost forever, which can never be replaced, but I'm left with fond memories of her, her wisdom, her smile, and her knowledge about everything. I'm really going to miss her. Thank you for allowing me to speak a few words about her.
So, there's a couple stories I want to share. Oh, I'm Brandy, and for all purposes, she's my aunt. Not by blood, but just say my aunt. So, just a couple stories. One thing that always makes me smile, and I shared with Jericho, and he told me I should tell it. She told the story of how she was in a car. She looked over at this couple, and she said, gosh, look at that couple. The man's so dark and the woman's so light. And she goes, and then I looked at myself, and it was me. That's me. And it's a funny story, but it means so much because you know why? I trained, part of my training was in Indiana, and I trained a little, quite some time after when Carolyn Auntie grew up, but I can imagine what the type of environment was in terms of what surrounded her and people's attitudes perhaps at that time. And to me, that statement just shows how much love she had in her heart for everyone and how she didn't see anything except love. And that's all she was about. And her laugh made you feel that. But it sounds like a funny statement, but it really means a lot. That's what she was about. It's just love. She just loved everyone. That's all she saw. When my sister passed away, after some time passed, people had moved on. She sent my mom such a sweet poem she had cut out from something that talked about even when someone's gone and people have moved on, how you still keep remembering and little things remind you and that they're in your heart. My mom still has that. It's almost 15 years now on her fridge, and what that meant. Most people don't know, when I was in college, she used to send me little cards and little letters and encourage me. She remembered every single holiday. She remembered your anniversary and your birthday and everything. So I hope, I know she's looking down on us. You can almost hear her laughing right now. And I hope all of us will just remember that loving spirit and remember love conquers everything and laugh, because I know she would like to have a little laughter in the world. The world's a little bit quieter because she's gone. Thank you for letting me share.
So, I know Carolyn because my mom went to high school with Andrew, and she also went to UCLA with Andrew, but they didn't really see each other there, but it's okay. We've connected a lot with her, especially my mom, over Facebook, so thank you, God, for Facebook, because we would always chat and messenger. And in the last days, I hate to say that, but she would continually ask us for prayer, and we would pray with her, and I just... It's not okay, you know, I think it, whatever, but I just, she posted something that, one of the last times it said, my favorite song is My Jesus, I Love Thee, and I don't know that song, but I do know this song, and when we read the post, literally in church, when you guys told us about her passing away, we were in church and we were singing this newer song, and it goes like this, and I just want to sing it because I know that, like, She was so loved, and she was such a light to this world. Like, she was like just the love of Christ to people. So it goes like this, and if you know it, you can sing along, but I'll just sing a little bit. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You were the one our hearts adore. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore. Our affection, our devotion poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, our devotion poured out on the feet of Jesus. We love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one her heart adorned.
I wasn't going to come up here, but
I listened to everything people were saying, and I think I was standing there thinking, I spent my whole childhood at their house. And I was sitting there thinking how many things I learned, like my competitive spirit playing cards, how everything was like, it was either 0 or 100. It was always loud, but it was fun. And she made everything a game, and we did puzzles, and my mom was making me laugh the other night, saying, you would come home saying, devil, go away. And just little things that she taught us. And just even Andrea and I were talking the other night about, oh my God, the way I eat my food now. I mean, she cooked for me 5 days a week. I ate at their house every day. She took care of me. She had like a little daycare in her house. And I mean, literally, I spent years there. So my whole childhood was, you know, formed by Dilip and Carolyn. And people always ask me, do you like Indian food? I'm like, I only eat homemade. I don't eat in Indian restaurants. I only eat homemade Indian food. And she was the best Indian cook. Like, she made my favorite things. And just, I was telling the pastor about those books she made. Like, I have so many. I have so many beautiful pictures she took of Anju and I and Eric as children. And she loved the Lord like no other. I could remember her telling my mom about her being healed. Oh, God healed her, and she wasn't in pain. And, you know, that's something, what a blessing to have faith like that, you know, that she just knew the Lord, you know. And, I mean, there's so many things, like so many things. The teeping, oh my gosh, that was hysterical. She was an instigator of trouble. I mean, prank calls, oh my gosh, too hilarious. Just, you know, I remember her sister would come, and I mean, we would all get together. And one funny story was and we talked about this, my father never played cards until he met them, and they would play Shanghai Rummy. And if you know them, it's like this card game with 20 million cards. Well, my dad would buy every card so no one could play anymore, and he couldn't even hold them all. And they would just have a great time, you know? We spent many nights over there playing cards. I don't even think we ate at Shakey's before we knew them. I mean, there's just so many things. Like, seriously, right? Like, I hate Velveeta because she used to make us eat it. There's just so many things. I have so many good memories. I spent so much time over there. She would let us paint, and we colored, and we were in the backyard. And I can remember, they used to have a swing set. I can remember us eating dirt. And, I mean, we did everything. So I can honestly say, like, she made my childhood. She made part of who I am, you know. And I feel really blessed that I still live across the street. We played Skippo the other day. And it was, you know, it was a good life. She had a great life, you know. And just her faith in God alone made her have an even better life, you know. She never thought about, like, using her cane or anything. She never let anything stop her. She did exactly what she wanted to do. And that's one thing, like, you know, she's a Trump lover. And she didn't care if you liked it or not. Like, anything. She just loved what she loved, and she did not care. And that was the most awesome thing about her. It was like, and if you weren't going to listen, she was going to make you listen, you know? But she didn't just talk to talk. She had something real to say, you know? She wasn't a small talk person. It was like, this is how she felt inside, you know? And not just opinions, like, those were her convictions. And I loved her for that. And I have all my things that she's ever given me, how all those special gifts she made us, like, I treasure them. That's part of my life. My mom wasn't like a scrapbooker or anything like that, but I have all those things that Carolyn made me, and I will keep them forever, and I will love her, and she will be in my heart for forever.
So my mom spoke earlier about how Carolyn Auntie made her feel welcome when she came to America the first time. What I just wanted to say was, if I were to make a list of the people besides my parents who had a direct influence on giving me a happy childhood, Carolyn Auntie would be at the top. And I think most of the cousins of my generation will never forget Christmases at your house. Obviously, it's something that I've been thinking about a lot. There's even pictures we've been seeing in the slideshow. I think it'll serve as an inspiration, because now as our generation is starting to have children ourselves, I think we want to carry that with us and kind of move that forward and have all of our future children have the same experiences that we did. So that's something that I'm going to carry with me for the rest of my life. And to piggyback on some of the warmer memories, I know my mom was talking about how my dad and her would spar on politics. To this day, I still remember some of the elections in the 80s and 90s. It was always like, if a Democrat won that night, then Carolyn Auntie would call my dad, kind of conceding defeat. If a few years later, George W. Bush won, it was the other way around. It was almost like a quarter every 4 years Super Bowl, because you have the coach of the winning team call and say, like, congratulations. But it was also the other side of Carolyn Auntie. This was funny, because I just remember this story maybe 5 minutes ago as I was sitting in the back, but she was a warm, loving person, but sometimes, if there was something that she didn't quite like, she didn't hide it. And I remember there's a lot of our childhood parties where we used to do them in the Tustin Clubhouse off of Red Hill. And I remember there was a pool table in the back. And this was when, me and my cousins, Samir Parag, Rishi, Monica, and all, we were too young to actually play pool. So we would sit at the pool table and we would, roll the balls into the pockets. And I remember one time Samir was at the other end of the table and I was trying to get, the eight ball into the corner or something. I rolled it so hard that it actually banked off the edge of the table and hit Samir straight in the eye. And Samir started crying, and I remember I was like, oh, crap, what have I done? Mom wasn't there. She wasn't in that part of the room. But Carolyn Auntie saw that, and she was so mad at me. And I remember being like, I'm sorry, Samir. I was crying. I didn't even realize the gravity of what I'd done until Carolyn Auntie made me realize more than my own mom, who didn't even know about it at the time. And I was like, there you go. So you get the two sides. You get the lovable, sweet lady, and then you also get the one who can discipline you in a snap. And I'm actually glad I remember that right now, just so I could share that. But that's the testament to who she is, and I'm always going to remember her. She's going to be an inspiration to me for the rest of my life. Thank you.
So I guess, seeing no one else coming up. I'd just like to, thank you all for coming. Really, it means a lot to the family to have you all here. Thank you, Pastor Jimmy. My mom's known him forever, it feels like, and she's always talking about you. So it's an honor to have you be here for this as well. And so thank you for coming. We have some food in the back, I believe. It's all set up, I think. And feel free to grab some sandwiches if you want. We have a reception room over here. We can just kind of spend some time, look at the photo collages, just kind of hang out. If you have to leave, no worries. Go ahead and carry on through the day. But thank you all for coming. It means the most to us. Thank you.
Let us close in a word of prayer. Dear God, we come before you on this day with a heavy heart, but yet also a joyful heart. Lord God, I just pray, Lord, that you give a peace that surpasses all understanding for the family and the loved ones here. We pray, Lord, that even as we're done with this memorial, that the celebration of your servant, Carolyn Gupta, does not stop, but that we would still fellowship, we would still talk and congregate and celebrate her life as we move and talk and discuss with one another. Lord God, comfort Dilip, comfort Eric, comfort Anju, comfort Jericho, comfort everyone in this room. In Jesus' name we pray.